Hello and welcome to this video tutorial brought to you by Tutvid.com. We're going to take a look at creating these, what I like to call advanced buttons. They're not really advanced as far as making them, but it's a technique that we're going to be using to make them that I get quite a few questions about actually, and it's how do I animate something when the user rolls over a button, not just maybe brighten or decrease the alpha or increase the alpha or whatever it is that you want to do on rollover, but actually make something else happen. So let me just publish this movie. I'm going to come up here to Control and just hit Test Movie. And notice on rollover, when I roll over this button, we're going to not only have an animation start, but also a sound. Just listen. Okay, so we got that animation. I don't know if you could hear that quick beep. But that is our over state. Now when we click down, it starts playing this other animation much faster. And that sound also beeps once more. And when I let go, you can see it just goes back to the over state. So that's the button we're going to create. It's not super difficult to do, but by the end of this, you will actually know how to do that. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to go File, New, and I'm using Flash CS3 here, so I'm going to create a new Flash file using ActionScript 3.0. If you are not using CS3, just go ahead and create a new Flash file. You're going to be using ActionScript 2.0, but there really is not much coding at all in here. Matter of fact, I think there's only one little bit of code we're going to be using, so there's nothing that is ActionScript 3 specific. So if you have an older version of Flash, you should be able to follow along just fine. Hit OK. First thing we're going to do to our new document is change the size. So I'm going to come down here to the Properties panel. The Properties panel is not there. Window and Properties. You can see that the hotkey for that is Control or Command if you're on the Mac, F3. You want to just select the size, and we are going to change the dimensions from 550 by 400 to 640 by 480. And we're also going to up the frame rate from 12 to 21. I'm going to change my background color to black, and I'm not going to enter a title or description, so I'm going to hit OK. Now, if I can move my stuff sort of out of the way here, we can see we have our workspace here. Right like that. So now to actually create our button, we're going to start out with the text tool. Grab the text tool. Set your foreground color to white, although we're going to change that in a little bit. Live text, as it is, editable text, I just call it not live text, editable text cannot have a gradient applied to it. So we're stuck using solid color, so we're going to work with white. I'm just going to name this button, button. And double click my properties panel to open that back up. Make sure I've got that text selected. I want to, well, the color is really irrelevant because we're going to change it in just a minute, but all of my settings are here. I want this to be Arial font. I want the size to be 85. I'm just going to align it left and make it bold. Obviously, your text settings, whatever, they can be anything you want. So I'm going to deselect that text. I'm just going to bring it roughly to the middle of my stage like that. Double click my properties panel to shrink it down. Okay, now what I need to do is break this down into some base shapes so I can apply a gradient. Well, actually here, let's just try applying a gradient to this right now. In the properties panel, we got our color swatch selector, and actually if you look in the color swatch selector for text, the gradient is not there. You can't see my entire swatches section there because it moves off screen. In fact, I can just drag this properties panel out here and show you. You can see there's no gradients available to you, and move this back into here real quick. If I come into here, which again moves off screen, and I select one of the gradients, absolutely nothing happens. I come up to here to my color panel and hit linear for linear gradient, and you can see it just flashes right back to solid. So you can only apply a solid color to this text. We want to break this down so we can apply a gradient to it. Now, if you're creating numerous buttons, you probably will want to keep your text as live text, so as you make more and more buttons, you can simply double-click into the text and maybe convert this from being something like home to something like contact. All right, so this is just something I'm doing here just so I can apply a gradient to it. All right, the way you break this stuff down is simply by going Modify, Break Apart. Or you can see the hotkey is Control or Command if you're on the Mac, B. Now this is not base shapes. All this has done has broken our text up into a bunch of mini text fields, each containing one letter. You can see here's the B, here's the U, here's the T, T, O, N. I need to break this down further. I want the base shapes, not live text, not editable text. So I'm going to right click. I just selected them all, by the way. I'm going to right click and just hit Break Apart. Again, here's another way to break apart anything, really. You can do this to symbols too, to break it back down to the original shapes. Break apart. Now we have editable bits of graphic. So what we're going to do is come up here to our color panel, select linear as our type, and you can see it gives us a nice black to white gradient. One problem, that is that each button has its own little gradient. I want all the gradients to go across this text as a whole. Okay, I don't want to have to come in here with my fill transform tool and select each individual letter and rotate it like that. So, there's a very easy way to get around that. Grab your selection tool, select all that text. Grab the paint bucket tool, and right now you can see black and white is our fill color, the black to white gradient, excuse me, is our fill color. Just tap the text, and there you go. Starts white on one end, goes to black on the other. Perfect, that's exactly what we want. Now when you select it, it edits the gradient as a whole, almost like the button text is just masking that gradient behind it. We're going to shrink this in to about there, and we're going to rotate it up till the black is on the top, white's on the bottom, and maybe, well, right about there is pretty good. We've got light gray on the bottom, a darker gray on the top. So there we go. We have applied a gradient to our text. Next thing we have to do is convert this text to a movie clip. Yes, we are creating a button, but we want to start out with a couple movie clips. So we're going to go modify, convert to symbol. Note the hotkey is F8 there. All right, name. I'm going to call this TXT base underscore MC. And the type is a movie clip, hence the underscore MC. And the registration, well, you can do center or you can do the top left-hand corner. I'm going to stick with the top left-hand corner for now. Hit OK. This is now a movie clip. We want to convert this to a second movie clip. So we have one movie clip. We don't want to duplicate this movie clip, but we want to place this movie clip, which is an instance of text base underscore MC, inside of another movie clip. So we're going to go modify convert to symbol. So we're converting that symbol to a symbol, and all that's going to do is place this movie clip symbol inside of this one that we're creating right now. And this one we're going to call TXT base up underscore MC. That's a movie clip type. Hit OK. Note that the instance of our text here changes to text base up. So this text base is just sitting inside of text base up, which is fine. We double click into here and select this movie clip inside text base underscore MC. Wonderful. Now we are going to make our button. So we're going to select this movie clip, which is the text base up MC. Go modify, convert to symbol, and we're just going to call this base underscore BTN. And it's going to be a button type. Hit OK. Notice we now have a button movie clip. You can tell it because the little icon down the properties panel changed, and it tells you you have a button here. We want to double click inside of this button, and the first thing you'll probably notice if you've never looked inside of a button symbol before is that you have a radically different timeline, and this timeline is button specific. You've got an upstate, you've got an overstate, a downstate, and then the hit area, which is not something that the user sees. So before we go any further, we're going to create a new layer. And on that new layer, we're going to draw a hit state. So create a new layer, and we're actually going to hold down the Alt key. If you're on a Mac, that's the Option key. And I'm just going to click and hold on that keyframe we have right here on layer 1, which is our button. Alt, click, and drag that up to the hit area of layer 2. We can name layer 2, excuse me, hit area, just so we know what's going on. Now, why did I just do that? Well, I just dragged that up there really so I could have some sort of guide when I draw my rectangle, because I'm just going to draw a rectangle. It can be any color you want. I'm going to use green here just to exaggerate it. And I'm just going to draw a rectangle out over the button, giving myself a nice little bit of padding on either side of the button. You can see there's, you know, a little bit around the button as well. Now, I can just select this button, movie clip, and just delete it, get it out of the way. This is our hit area. You don't have to worry about seeing that. It is completely invisible, but the hit area serves a very, very important purpose. This is the area of the stage that, when rolled over, it will trigger the over and down states. Okay, when it's rolled over, it triggers the over state. When somebody clicks on it, it triggers the down state of this button. Now, the reason that I recommend you put a hit state on all of your buttons is because sometimes when you're working with buttons, especially if you have some kind of fancy animation that starts happening, you can roll off the default hit area, which is basically just the area of your movie clip, and what happens is the button will start flashing. So it looks really terrible, it looks really bad, and it's just a quick, easy way to fix it is just throw a hit area in for all of your buttons. It's a really great thing to do. Let's go back here to layer 1, and I'm going to hold down my Alt or Option key again and just drag this movie clip over to the overstate. But here at the overstate, I'm going to select the movie clip, and I need to duplicate it because if I edit this movie clip as is, it's going to edit the one on the upstate. because both of these movie clips are just instances of this movie clip sitting in my library. They're not actually individual pieces of art. Well, they look like individual pieces of art, but ultimately they're all linked back to the same thing. So when you edit one, you edit them all. So we want to break it out of that mold, if you would, and, you know, make it its own little thing. So we need to duplicate this movie clip. That's what you do. Come up here to Modify and go Symbol, Duplicate Symbol. Here, we're going to get rid of the copy attached to the end. And we're going to switch the word up here to the word over. Now we have text base over. If you look in your library, we have another movie clip in there, text base over. Now when we edit this movie clip, we're not going to be editing text base up. That's exactly what we want, because this movie clip only shows up on the over state. Alrighty. Double click on this movie clip to get inside of it and start editing it. Note, inside of here, we still have our text base MC. This is good, because if we wanted to, let's say, brighten this text or make this text change colors on rollover, we could do all of that because it's a movie clip, which is perfect. We're going to use the movie clip to apply some filters to this bit of text, which, by the way, if you're using anything older than Flash 8, Flash 8 and CS3 are the only two versions of Flash that have filters. So if you're using Flash MX or MX 2004, you won't be able to add those filters, but you'll still be able to follow along, generally speaking. I'm going to rename this layer btn.txt for button. Next, I'm going to create three new layers. The top layer I'm going to name AS for ActionScript. This layer I'm going to name Left, and this layer I'm going to name Right. So just like that, we've got button text, right, left, and our ActionScript layers. Let's start here on our left layer. Let's grab the rectangle tool, change our foreground color to white, and just draw out a little rectangle. I'm going to select this rectangle, and I'm going to edit the width and height properties. I want this to be pretty small, about 10 by 5. Okay, you can see quite small. Now, I'm just going to draw a selection out over that little rectangle. Matter of fact, I can lock up the button text layer. See this lock here in the layers area? If you just click on the dot for that corresponding layer, button text, we lock it up so we can't accidentally select. You can say draw a selection out over it, but I'm not selecting it because that layer is locked. Again, go up to the left layer and select that little box. And we're going to go Modify, Convert to Symbol. And we're converting this to a movie clip symbol. We're just going to name this light zip underscore MC. Hit OK. Now, what we need to do is start tweening this. So, to set up our tween, I'm going to come out here to frame 50 and just draw a line down over all of my layers, excuse me, and I'm just going to hit F5. That just adds a frame, so we stretch out our timeline now. The movie will play through this entire area, which consists of 50 frames. I'm going to grab this little guy here on the left keyframe. Note I'm using the keyframe up here. I'm going to hold down my Alt key, click and drag, which is duplicating that keyframe, all the way to the end there. Now I'm going to come to the center and select 25, frame 25, right click, and insert a keyframe. The hotkey for that is F6. Now I am going to come here to the center, and I'm going to make sure that I've got this little light zip selected. I'm holding down Shift and just using my arrow keys to nudge him to about the approximate center of the text. And we're going to change the width and height to, let's say, 65 by 25. All right, I want to move him back about to there, just like that. I'm going to adjust him over here on the first keyframe. Bring it up a little bit, just like that, so it really looks like it's coming in straight. Then it gets really big here, and we want it to go back to being small here, but we want this to be all the way over on the other side of the text. So again, that's just Shift and my arrow keys, and my up arrow key to nudge it up a little bit. Now we just highlight a portion of your frames in between the two keyframes you want to tween, and if we're tweening between three keyframes, which is two tweens, we can just select like that. Okay, so we've got some between the first two and some between the second two, right click, create motion tween. Now what happens, when I scrub through the timeline, you can see our box gets bigger and then smaller. So we got one little thing left to do. Select this little guy and come over to the filters panel. Open up the filters. I'm going to pull the filters panel out here so we can see what we're doing. And add a filter, hit that plus key, and we're going to add a blur. Just a 5 pixel by 5 pixel blur is fine for this little end. And then over here, all the way over at frame 50, or keyframe 50, select him, We're going to put a 5x5. If you just hit this lock, it'll make sure that whatever goes into the one goes into the other. So let's say 10x10, 5x5. Now over here in the middle, we want this one to be blurred significantly more. Let's try something like 45. All right, let's unlock it though, because I want it to be blurred more on the X than the Y. So let's blur it on maybe only 20 on the Y. So it's going to look like it's really stretching out as we play through our little animation. Just like that. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to move my filters panel off screen just for a second. Now, we want to select this entire thing. Or now, you know, we're not going to select that entire thing. We're going to come down here to the right layer. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to come into our library and drag lightzip_MC out. This time we're going to place them over here on this side. And I'm going to hold down Alt and just drag keyframe to the center. Drag keyframe all the way over to the other side. I'm all the way over on the other side. I'm going to hold down, well, make sure you select that little movie clip. Click or shift left arrow key to move him over all the way across the button. Then this guy is going all the way to the center of the button. And again, the size, I don't remember exactly what the size was. It was something like 65. Oops. 65. Make sure you stay selected on that movie clip there. 65 by 25. Yeah, that looks about right. And let's just bring him here to about the center. And now, all that we have left to do is apply some filters here. Start with this one over here. Filters panel, make sure you got them selected, and just add that blur 5x5. Perfect. Here in the center, add that blur. What was it, 45 by 25? If I recall correctly, 45 by 20. Well, we'll stick with 25. It's not quite the same. No big deal. Select this guy over here, and whoops, we want blur 5x5, and we just get rid of this glow by selecting it and hit the minus button. Gone. Now, tween this just like between the others, create motion tween. Now, when we do this, you can see it just looks like two zips of light are coming across the button from opposite sides. That's pretty much exactly the effect we're looking for. However, if we add just a couple frames to this, we can really make this look like these are kind of revolving around this text. How do we do that? Well, start by clicking and dragging a selection over all of your frames, and just click and drag this out, and every time you drag out, you're dragging out one frame at a time. So count to about five, six, maybe seven. Let's do seven. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what? Let's go with 6. I'm liking 6 more. There's 6, and we're going to duplicate these two keyframes. I'm going to hold down Alt. I just selected both of them. I'm going to hold down Alt and just drag them back just like that. Note the button text disappears. Well, that's because look down here on the button text layer. That's just a blank keyframe. You know there's content on that layer in that section of frames because it turns gray. So just select the keyframe here and drag it back to frame one. Voila, text is now there. We got the right zip here. We're going to move this guy in closer to the button. So we're just going to hold down shift and nudge him in about 3 times with that left arrow key. The same thing for the guy on the left here. We're going to nudge him in 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, just like that. And I'm going to select him now, and because it's a movie clip, I've got these color options. I'm going to edit the alpha, make sure the alpha is set to 0. Same thing for the one over here on the right. Make sure you select him, and color alpha, just like that, 0. So now it looks like that those are coming out from behind, and then coming up, and crossing in front just like that. So now that we've done it in the front, or when it first starts, we need to do it when it ends. So here we're at frame 56, so let's come up here to frame 62 and hit F6 to place a row of keyframes there. And on these keyframes, we want to nudge these guys in. 1, 2, 3 for the guy for the right. Well, he's on the left side now, but that's the right layer. And for the left layer, we're going to nudge him to the left here. And again, select him and decrease that alpha all the way down to 0. So there we go, we just did it both of them. Select those frames in between, create motion tween. Let's preview this movie and see what we got. Command delete or control enter, or command return, control enter, publishes your movie. And now when I roll over, you can see we have these little animations of light that just look like they're looping in and going around behind and shooting back out the other side of the button. Pretty cool. But that is far from where we're going to stop. Actually, here's the only bit of action script we're going to use. I'm just going to select this little blank keyframe and hit clear keyframe to get rid of that. I'm going to select this blank keyframe all the way at the end, over here on frame 62, and hit F9 to bring up my actions panel. And in here, I'm just going to type the word stop, open and close parentheses, semicolon. If you can't see that, I know I haven't increased the code size. F9 to make that go away. That's all the coding we're going to do, because I really only wanted to play through that animation once. Now let's make this button text blur. So just come out to about frame 15 or so, place a keyframe there, come out to about frame 30, place a keyframe there, and then over here near frame 50, place a keyframe there. Select it all and motion tween it. What happens? Nothing happens because we haven't made any changes to those keyframes yet. So let's make some changes to them. Well, on this side we have... Oh, you know what? Whoops. I need to shift this keyframe over here. We need to actually have four keyframes because I need this guy to start as normal text and tween into a blur here. So I'm going to select the text. Oh, I got to unlock the layer to select it. Actually select that text. And we need that filters panel. And we're going to blur this. We're going to blur him only along the X. So we're going to set the Y to 0 and we're going to blur him a good amount, maybe 20. Along the X, okay, and you can see that it's blurring him pretty badly. Then over here at this one, we're going to blur him about 20 along the Y, like that. And then nothing over here at the last one. So what happens? Well, it looks like normal text, and then it starts to blur, and then it goes back to looking normal, just like that. Okay, so Command Return, Control Enter. Let's check it out. You can see it almost makes it look like the whole thing slows down as you roll over, which is a pretty cool effect. But that's what we're going to be using there for our overstate. Notice we have this little symbol tree, and in here we are working in the text base over. We want to go back to base button, so click that, and now we want to create a downstate. I'm just going to duplicate this movie clip by holding on Alt, clicking and dragging over to the downstate, select the button, and again we want to go modify symbol, duplicate symbol to duplicate this symbol, and replace the word over with the word down and get rid of the word copy there on the end. Now we're just going to go into this, and here at the center with these light zips, I'm just going to tint them. All right, I'm going to tint the bottom one green. I'll tint the top one. Oh, I don't know. Let's maybe choose a dark blue, or there's a red right here off screen. We'll take like this sort of lightish, bluish, colorish. And there we go. That's our downstate. Oh yeah, also with the downstate, I want to get rid of the stop action at the end. So I'm just going to clear keyframe just like that. Now we can also speed this whole thing up by coming in here and removing some frames. So I'm going to take two frames out of here. I'm going to right click, remove frames. And I'm going to take a bunch more out of here, remove frames. And I'm going to take a bunch more out of here. Let me take about the same amount as I took out of the other one. Remove frames. And again, out of this end area, right click, remove frames, just like that. Okay, let's publish this, Control Enter. That would be Command Return on the Mac. And when we roll over, you can see it's nice and slow. When we click, we get these faster zips that replay. So there we go. Let's go back to the base button. Last thing that we need to do is add some sound. This is really easy. Basically, insert a new layer. We're just going to name this sound. Obviously, that's not something mandatory. I just like to keep my stuff kind of organized. Speaking of organization, I'll just call this MC for movie clip layer. Sound. Over here on the overstate, hit F6 to insert a keyframe. It's the same as right-clicking, insert keyframe. We've inserted a keyframe there. Now, come here to File, Import. And I want to import to my library. I want to import a sound file. Click there, and I've got this MP3 right here. Note that when it imports, whenever it imports, we have this MP3. When I play it, I don't know if you can hear it, but it's a very faint metallic button click sound. And all we need to do is select this overstate, and from the sound drop down menu, just choose metallic button. Now it's going to play on the overstate and the downstate, which is exactly what we want. Let's just publish the movie again. When I roll over, you can hear it. When I click, you can hear it. Perfect. It's exactly what we want. You have just created a button, an advanced button if you want to call it that, in Flash. using just some simple animation techniques, not really much coding at all. There are ways you could do it using coding, which arguably are more flexible. But this is kind of the easy, clean cut. If you're just starting out, do it this way and kind of grow into the other ways of doing it. So that's it for this one. I hope this has helped you, and I hope you learned something from it. Please go check out the website. That's www.tutvid.com. Thank you for watching.